I resign my failures and resolve to be spiritually successful. I resign my excuses and resolve to do what needs to be done. I resolve my apathy and resolve to care about others. Let us turn to Philippians chapter 3. I want us to pay attention to verses 13 through 16. Paul writes here, "Brethren, I count not myself to be apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press on to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be ye otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, we have already attained. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing." If you go back and you look at Paul's letters and you look at the book of Acts, you can see in there that Paul was no stranger to failure. He had failed his Lord on more than one occasion. Paul was a party to the murder of Christians and to the persecution of the church. But this was the past. Did Paul ever give up? Did Paul ever quit? Did Paul ever take his ball and go home? No. He didn't let his failure stop him from doing what he had to do. Paul moved forward. And Paul let the hope of the resurrection motivate him. All that rain hit my legs and none of it hit my lips. What failures did you experience yesterday? What about this past week? Or even what about this past year? You know, a day is simply one revolution of the earth. A week is only 7 revolutions of the earth. A year is only one revolution around the sun. However, spiritually, a day, a week, a year is an opportunity for us to begin again. A certain time has lapsed. And now we have a new time. Today certainly wasn't like yesterday, and tomorrow is certainly not going to be like today. But before we can begin another day, before we can put behind us the things that happened yesterday, there are things that we have to resolve. But before we can resolve anything, we have to resign. We have to resign our past failures. We all have failures. There are many individuals in the Bible who experienced failure. Consider Moses. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen was standing before the Sanhedrin giving a defense. He was doing a very good job too. But in verse 25, he said, "And he," meaning Moses, "supposed that his brethren understood that God by his hand was giving them deliverance, but they understood him not." Now, the words that Stephen spoke was about an incident that occurred in Exodus chapter 2 in verses 11 through 15. It was here, and it says, "It came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren. And he looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting the Hebrews," one of his brethren. "And he looked this way, and he looked that way, and when he saw that no one was there, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, 2 men of the Hebrews were fighting together. And he said to them that did wrong, 'Why do you fight your fellow man?' And the Hebrew, he said to him, he said, 'Who made you a prince and judge over us?' Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? And Moses feared, and he said, surely this thing is known. Now Pharaoh heard this thing, and he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. His brethren misunderstood him. But he wasn't the only one. Let's look at Samson. Samson was a man who was physically strong, but he had a terrible spiritual weakness. That weakness was lust. It was his undoing. In Judges 16, it tells us the account of Delilah's betrayal and Samson's capture. Samson failed. It cost him his sight. It cost him his hair. But he overcame his failures. But let us go further into the future. Let's look at Peter. He was one of the Lord's top disciples. If we had an actual audio version of the four Gospels, about the only one we would ever hear speaking other than Jesus would be Peter. It's as if he was the disciples' mouthpiece. But he was an ardent supporter of Christ. He vowed that he would never deny Jesus. However, on the night of Jesus' trial, he denied him three times. We find this in John 18 and verse 27. Peter failed, but Peter overcame his failures. This is a new day. This is a new week. This is a new year. And we must resign our failures. Every single one of us, without fail, has made excuses sometime in our lives. That wise old man Solomon wrote in Proverbs 26 and verse 13, the sluggard says, there is a lion in the way, a lion in the streets. An excuse is just a rationale for laziness. Moses also made excuses, but God would not accept a single one of them. All we have to do is read Exodus chapter 3. I can't speak. I'm not eloquent of tongue. What am I going to say? How am I going to say it? I'm paraphrasing. Someone once said that an excuse is just a lie wrapped in the skin of reason. George Washington Carver said 99% of all failures come from people who have the habit of making excuses. Today, this week, this year, I resign my excuses. Apathy is when we just don't care. And it is a terrible problem to have. We are now living in a nation of apathy. The condition of our nation today is because of apathy. Apathy is being lukewarm about something. Apathy has no passion. Apathy has no motivation. And certainly apathy has no accomplishments. Jesus in Revelation 3 and verse 16, he was telling John to write to the church of Laodicea. And in verse 16, Jesus said to the brethren at the church, so because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. Helen Keller said that science may have found a cure for most evils, but it has found no remedy for the worst of them, the apathy of human beings. Today, this week, this year, I resign my apathy. I resolve today and this week and this year to spiritually succeed. Moses and Samson and Peter all failed. But then they succeeded beyond their wildest dreams. Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. and eventually, after a very long time, got them to the land that was promised. Samson delivered the children of Israel from the Philistines. Peter became a great apostle and gained prominence within the Lord's church. They all failed. But then they resolved to succeed. I can't imagine what had gone through Peter's mind the day that Christ died on that cross. Because of his failure, his opportunity to stand up for Christ, maybe even to have the honor of being crucified next to him, that he tore himself away in tears, considering himself a failure. That everything that Christ had said, because he still didn't understand fully, that this was only the beginning. While we must resolve to succeed, success comes from dedication and hard work. Henry David Thoreau, he said, success usually comes to those who are too busy to be looking for it. And Colin Powell remarked that there are no secrets to success. It is the result of preparation, hard work, and learning from failure. When we look in Galatians 5 and verse 22, one of the fruits of the Spirit is long-suffering or patience. So how do we know, as Christians, how do we know what needs to be done? First and foremost, instead of offering excuses, let us offer effort. The ancient writer Horace wrote, "Life grants nothing to us mortals without hard work." But I prefer what Solomon wrote in Proverbs 21, verse 25. "The desire of the sluggard kills him, for his hands refuse to labor." What is our motivation? What is it that will cause us to resolve to put forth the effort? To stop making the excuses, to getting our hands to work. Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, Paul said, "For this end we labor and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of them that believe." The living God. Putting our focus as our motivation. Everyone sitting here tonight has the desire, a heartfelt desire for eternal life. If I was to ask for a show of hands who said that's not their motivation and desire, I dare say not a hand will be put up. Paul in Colossians 3 and verse 23, he says, "Whatsoever you do, work heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men." That is our motivation. We're not working here to please one another. Though the work that we do here pleases one another. But we're working and striving to please God. Do we have tasks before us that need to be done? The answer is yes, we do. So we must roll up our sleeves and get to work. I resolve to do what needs to be done today, or this week, and this year, to care about others. The opposite of apathy is to care, and sometimes caring can be the hardest thing to do. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 25, Paul writes that the members should have the same care one for another. If we love one another, then we will care for them. If you were to go back to Galatians 5:21 and 22, you look about what Paul speaks of the fruit of the Spirit, the very first thing that he says is love. Without love, the rest of those fruits will not fall into place. They will be meaningless. And we build up on those things. Paul in Romans 12:10, he says, in the love of the brethren be tenderly affectioned one to another. And I submit to you tonight that there's no way you can do that if you don't care for each other. So what do we have to do to care for each other? We find the answers in Galatians chapter 6 and verses 2 and in verse 10 and in Philippians 2 and verse 4. Galatians 6 and verse 2 tells us that we are to bear each other's burdens. In verse 10, it tells us to provide for those in need. In Philippians 2 and verse 4, he reminds us to follow the example of Jesus, counting others better than ourselves. You see, that's agape love. Setting ourselves into the back seat and putting others ahead of us and before us. You know, when we talk about obeying the gospel, when we talk about what it is that Christians have to do, and the word sacrifice always comes up. And that's exactly what we have to do. We have to sacrifice. It doesn't matter if you're up underneath your car and somebody calls and needs help. Hopefully they'll give you a little time to get cleaned up, but if not, you go the way you are and help. If someone calls to shed a burden on you, sacrifice means that you don't say, well, I don't have time right now. I've got a cake in the oven and I got the dog in the tub. Sacrifice means that you're going to have to bake another cake and clean the bathroom after you get the dog out of the tub. We have to care for one another. And I resolve to care about others and their problems today and this week and this year. You know, sometimes caring for others means that you're going to lose a little bit of your own sanity. But it's worth it in the end. Every single one of us have a lot to resign. It's not easy as resigning from your place of business. It is a difficult choice to make. Sometimes the things that we must resign have been with us for so long that it has become a daily part of our lives. But it must be done. Because if we don't resign, we can never resolve. It's my hope and my desire for all of us, myself at the top of the list, that we resign our failures and resolve to spiritually succeed. I pray Vicki doesn't like me using the I word, but I do pray that we can resign our excuses and resolve to do what needs to be done. Not only in our homes or our communities, but in our church, in God's family. Resolve to do what needs to be done. I pray that we will resolve our apathy and resolve to care for others. Oftentimes, a person's failure to resolve and to resign is a fear of the future. I resign today to live a worldly life. For many, that's a scary thought. So we look back and we look at all of our friends. We look at those who we pal around with. We think, what will they think of me? Will they be able to accept the change in me? There are folks within this own congregation that if I was to meet them on the street, I'd say, these are the best Christians I ever knew. But they're not. They haven't obeyed. But they are a great example. I enjoy being around them, because my sensibilities are never offended. The compassion they have for anyone here is the same as my compassion for all of you. They will do whatever they can to help and to be there for any of us. But what is the resignation problem that we have? What about us who are Christians? Why haven't we resigned to put things that we have in the past that are still lingering, that we haven't set aside, that we haven't overcome? We say, it's too hard. No, it's not. What's hard is we keep forgetting who's standing beside us and who helps us up when we're down. Let us resign today, the past. Let's get rid of these things that are keeping us from resolving the things that we need to do. If you are not a Christian this evening, we want to give you the opportunity to resign a life that's in the past, to have all of your sins washed away, giving you a new life, a new beginning, a new day. If you are a Christian, and there are things that you have not resolved to do yet, if there are things that you have not resigned from, today is a new day. Resign today and resolve today to do those things which are right. If one of those things is making things right with God, we want to give you that opportunity tonight also. If anyone has a need this evening, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.